Hi, friends. Hello, hello. You're listening to I'm Sorry With the Podcast with Ashley Sleek. It's just like I showed up to your house, bottle of wine in hand, with like 45 to an hour of juicy ass gossip to talk about. Like, who doesn't want to do that? Hello, hello, and welcome back to I'm Sorry With the Podcast. I'm Ashley Sleek. So excited that you chose to hang out with me for a little bit today. Thank you so much. Blessings. I am so excited for today's episode. There's so much to talk about. We're just going to be gabbing away like a couple gabby girls, and I love. So I have to say, this is my first week without pickleball, and I miss it. I think that I thrive better when I have purpose, you know, as we know from Danielle and Kevin's wedding. And I liked my pickleball purpose, and I feel that something is missing. So I do think I'm going to need a new hobby. Open to suggestions. But yeah, I'm not seeing that they're doing pickleball again, but I'm like, do I join another league? Like, are there other people? I must continue the pickleball. Like, I feel that I have so much more to learn and so much better to get. And I also am like so crazy, and I've been like watching pickleball. Like, my TikTok feed right now is tennis and pickleball games. Like, I don't know how she got here. She's crazy. But we're here and I'm enjoying it. I'm like, should I try tennis? Like, I don't know. You know, I just don't know. But I feel that something else is afoot, and I need to have a new hobby. One of my girlfriends was talking about how she was doing salsa dancing, and I was like, that sounds fun. Like, never forget that I iconically took ballroom dancing at the Mormon church in high school and took it again in college. So, you know what I mean? Like, she's a dancer. And maybe it's time for me to unlock that full potential, you know? But we'll see. We'll see. Also, I feel the need to tell everybody that I took my Hokas out for a spin. I absolutely did not do what my dad told me to do, because what am I if not an annoying daughter who doesn't listen? I listened, but then I didn't. So like he said, make sure you wear them around the house first, because if you don't like them, then you can like return them, you know? So I like wore them around the house, but it's just like, I feel like I can't get the vibes, you know? I'm like, I need to be on Hot Girl Walk in order to understand if these are my Hot Girl Walk shoes. So I took them for a spin. And let me just say this. I feel like that audio, you know, that viral TikTok where it's like, am I better than everyone? Like, that's how I felt wearing my Hokas. I'm like, is everybody looking at me like, oh my God, she's got Hokas on. She's so serious. Like, she's a walker. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like because I had professional walking shoes on that the people were looking at me different. They're like, no, she's got a pep in her step. And I said, I did, sweetie. Like, and it cost me $180, but I love this pep. It was a worth pep. And so I really did like them. I will say that my feet hurt a little bit, but I'm chalking that up to just being like a new shoe thing. My feet are so weird, you guys. It's so frustrating when it comes to shoes. This is why, like, I'm always going to be loyal to Allbirds, because they are like the only shoe that fits me so comfortably. But I just needed them a little bit thicker to like, because when I was walking in those Hokas, I was like, oh my God, I feel so supported. Like, wow, this is really the therapy that I needed, and for my feet. And so anyways, I'm hoping that like the arch thing, my foot just like settles out the arch thing. Like, you know, they're just new shoes, but I feel that for the pain that the arch was, the rest of the shoe was so much better. And I like I said, I'm sore today, but I think that's because I've been in my espresso depresso era and I have not been walking. Like, it's so frustrating. Depression's so annoying. I have to be honest. Like, listen, I'm just going to level with you. It's so annoying. It pops its little ugly ass head up at random times, and it's so hard to get out. And so I've been in my isolation era, and it's been frustrating. It's frustrating when you want to be happy and then you're just like not. And I just kind of succumbed to it for a little bit because my body was hurting. I was off my game. I feel like I was such a good girl, and I did my 75 hard. 72? 75? Oh, shit. I don't remember. Either way, 75. I did my 75 hard, and I was, like, on this good path, and then that was kind of over, and I kind of, like, fell apart a little bit. And so I'm, like, getting back into it. I went for my, like, 4.5 mile walk yesterday in my Hokas, and, you know, I got dressed today, did a little lip, like, she's a new bitch. I also had like a really fun weekend, so I feel like that really catapulted me back into like trying to be a better person. So on Saturday, I went to Berkeley with friends of the podcast, Ryan and Julie, and their beautiful daughter, Gigi. It was so fun. They have like a little animal farm there, and you can like bring celery and stuff and feed the animals. And it was so fun. There were like cows and pigs and goats and chickens and all sorts of stuff. It was like very fun. I had such a good time. And then we went on the train, like a little choo-choo train. such a vibe. It was so much fun. I loved it. We went to Temescal after. I had such a good, I think one of the best non-alcoholic beers that I've had. I feel the need to like give everyone recs, although I do realize that I didn't write down the name, but it was like a hazy. And I, so like in, obviously I'm a beer girl. If you listen to this podcast, you know, I love beer and I love hazy specifically and IPAs and all that, but my stomach would hurt really bad after them. So it was interesting to try like the non-alcoholic hazy because I haven't really gone down that route yet because I was like, I don't want to get sick, but like I did it. So we live, laugh, love that. So anyways, that was really fun and I had such a good time. And then when I went home back to Livermore, my mom was babysitting my niece, Madison. And so here's the situation, you guys. The other day when I was home with Madison, I thought it would be fun to throw her basically in a laundry basket and like push her around the house as if she was on like a roller coaster, you know? So it was hard to tell if she really enjoyed it, like, you know, at the time. But apparently, since Auntie hasn't been there, she has been pushing around the like laundry basket, trying to convince other people to do it. And my sister's like, no, that's something only Auntie Ashley does. Like, no one else is doing this for you. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay, so I went home and I did what I had to do. I pushed my girl around in her laundry basket. Oh my God, I was so tired. Babies are like so much work and so heavy. I don't know how y'all do it, but like, they're so cute. Like, truly, I know I'm so annoying when I say this all the time, but like, there is nothing like being auntie. Like, I live for it. Like, I got to see two of my nieces in the same day and I was just like, God, I love this. It's like, what? I can't be in my espresso depresso era when there's people who need me to push them around a laundry basket or say hello to some animals. Like, she's busy. So that was really fun. And then, you know, I got to watch, my dad and I have been watching Welcome to Wrexham. And I do want you to know that I did buy the Wrexham ticket. So I can't remember if I said that last week, but I did end up purchasing them. I'm very excited. I think it's going to be such a good time. And you know what? Treat yourself. Okay. Treat yourself. And I deserve it. And I'm excited to, I know that people are like, Ashley, you just told two stories where you're spending a lot of money and I hear you, but I'm actually still in my like hot girl plan to get out of debt. So it's okay. Like, she's doing it. We're working really hard and we're trying not to spend that much money, but here and there, like, you also have to live life, you know? So the Hokas, the Wrexham tickets were worth it, you know? Okay. Back to my weekend. On Sunday, I got to attend my friend Tiffany's birthday party, and it was Taylor Swift theme. And listen, as somebody who cannot afford to go to the Eras tour, I felt like this was my moment. Everyone was supposed to dress up in their Taylor Swift era, and I was so proud of my idea. I was like, wait, I'm a genius. I dressed as Kansas City Chiefs Taylor, and I had literally the best time. I will post the picture on my Instagram story so you can check it out because I'm so proud of my outfit. I wore my Karma is My Tight End t-shirt. Shout out to Karishma for buying me that. And then I had a black mini skirt, and I wore like a black jacket over it, and I had my hair in a high pony with a red lip, and it was so fun. I felt like I was having my own version of the Eras, you know? But that is my favorite Taylor Swift era, so I had to. Like, the Travis Kelce Taylor Swift era is my absolute favorite. I am so excited. I feel like I'm kind of immersed in a football, like, world right now because, I mean, always, but I've been reading this Amy Trask book, you know, who worked for the Raiders forever. So I feel like I'm so excited, and I'll talk more about it in sports, but I feel like football's coming, and I feel like this was my like introduction in, and it was a really good time. I'm so glad we got to celebrate her. It was really funny because literally I was in Livermore, and the Honey and Wine Beer and Wine Livermore Fest was happening this weekend. I don't know, they keep changing the name of this like downtown festival that they have, and I got two text messages in the morning like, hi, are you in town? Like, are you going to the festival? And I was like, wow, I, not to be like my best friend George Panowski Camacho, but am I the Kim Kardashian of Livermore? Like, he always says he's the Kim Kardashian of Sonoma County, and I, at that moment, I felt that I was the Kim Kardashian of Livermore because I was like, wait a hot minute, like, am I somebody that everyone wants to see out and about, like, at this event? Like, is it not a cool event in Livermore unless Ashley Sleek shows up? That's obviously not how they wanted me to interpret it, but that's how I did, so I love. But anyways, I didn't go to the festival. I was at a Livermore winery, and it was so fun, and I love getting to celebrate my girl, and we just had such a good time. It was just a swirly, girly good time. So I then drove back home, and then got all my stuff for meal prepping, and then honestly, like, I was tired and I was just like, I'm laying in bed, I'm doing my thing. So anyways, it was a good weekend, and I love it. And you know, I did want to share some stuff. Speaking of the book that I've been reading, Amy Trask, I've learned a couple more things from Amy, and I wanted to share them with you all today. So she talked about having a fuck you fund. And it cracked me up so much. I'm so sorry for anyone listening in the car with my nieces and nephews. But she said that basically at work, you know, she was like, her and her husband said that they would set up this like FU fund where if she needed to quit her job, she just could. And I was like, that's genius, honestly. And like, if you can do that, like right now I'm in my get out of debt era. So like the savings are not saving. It's like, get out of debt. But if you are not, like, and you have the means, like, this is a genius idea, because I feel as if, like, it will make things easier when working, because then you know you have an out, and it's just like, okay, you're just here to do a good job. Because I feel like so much of, like, mental health issues in our world, like, are related to workplace environment. And if you have a little fun to, like, back yourself up, like, I just thought this was so genius. I loved it, so I thought I would share. Also, basically a lot of the book is her talking about like who she was and how she was really unapologetically herself. Like, and I feel that it was such a good lesson to like never be afraid to be yourself and find a company that honors you for being yourself. Like, you know, she was working for Al Davis, and you know, she was just not afraid to argue, not afraid to stand up for what she believed in, and was with the Raiders for a really, really long time. And I thought that was so impressive that she like tells all these stories about how like she would say things back in the day and like then find out later on that they were offensive and would have no idea. She was just like doing her job, like didn't even think about it. Could absolutely never be me, you know. But I just love that she was like, no, I'm just gonna come in here, I'm gonna do a good job, and that's it. Like, and really didn't think anything else other than that, and worked for a company that like believed in her for that. So I thought it was really cool, and I just wanted to share that with you all, because, you know, I'm like a reading girl now, you know, I like read, and I have a pair of Hokas, and I'm like better than everybody. It's fine. I still have the goal. I'm ready to open another card. You know what I mean? I didn't open on the radio on air, you know, with you all, which is, to me, this is my radio show. My 75 hard envelope. And actually, I feel like I should do that. Hold on, let me grab it really quick. It's so funny because I wasn't going to do this because I know what's in it, because I did, I think, $75 cash to spend on whatever I wanted. But I forgot that I put those funny, like, quotes in there. Like, I forgot I put, like, inspirational quotes in here, and I feel that we must read it. Okay. This is for a new dress or outfit. Not me, like, showing the cash on the camera. Like, get out of here. Okay. Here's the little quote I gave myself. New lessons, new blessings. It says blessings, but I feel like it sounds better. New lessons, new blessings. So new lessons, new blessings. We love. Okay. And then I get to go buy myself something fun, like a new outfit. And your girl's closet needs a little bit of work. So thank you to myself for this amazing gift. Okay. And let's get into the stories today. So this is my MySpace top three of things I wanted to talk to you about. Okay, so Katie Maloney issued a statement after Lala called her out complaining about Ariana on the Vanderpump Rules reunion. So basically what happened was that Katie had called Lala to complain about Ariana. Like, she was just kind of venting like friends do, you know? And basically they got in a big fight because Lala wanted Katie to like call Ariana out on the show and like have this fight on the show. And Katie was just kind of like, no, I just like wanted to talk to my friend, you know? So then at the reunion, Lala felt the need to like kind of blindside everybody and like talk about this. So Katie issued a statement on her Instagram. She said, I'm someone who suffered from imposter syndrome for as long as I have known myself. Hence why I was apprehensive about opening the sandwich shop on my own. So when Ariana was going through not only a world of hurt, but also getting some amazing opportunities, that changed a lot of things at a pivotal time. I was extremely sensitive to what she was going through, but also very supportive. I was also dealing with an immense insecurity about what I could take on and simply did not want to put that on her. I had an emotional response that didn't feel appropriate to bring to her front door, so I went where I felt safe, or where I thought I felt safe. Until I could find the appropriate conversation was to have with Ariana, which of course I did have, and we had plenty since. And to me, this is what's happening, okay? This makes so much sense. I have talked to almost all of my friends about this, about the importance of having friends outside of your friend group. Like, all your friends can, like each other, but, like, if they're all in the same friend group, like, that's just tough because sometimes you need people outside of your friend group to talk to about it. Like, if I'm having an issue with somebody and I know I'm upset, I would rather vent about it to someone else first, someone outside, someone who's not their friend, you know? And I know, like, Lala and Ariana are friends, but you know what I mean? Like, just someone that you trust, so that way, like, you can just get out all the angry things and then you can strategize what you're actually going to say to them. Because to Katie's point, she's like, Ariana's going through a lot and I'm angry and I don't want to just go with her. And to me, this shows a lot of growth on Katie's part, because like everybody wants to label Katie as Tequila Katie. Like, she's so angry, she's so mad, like blah, 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 blah. And this was her saying like, yeah, I just wanted to like be mad to you, my friend, and then go back. And like, honestly, I just thought we were friends and I never thought that this would come up. Like, I just thought, and here's where the great divide is, in my opinion, okay? Lala is worried about her future. She has every reason to be. She lived a very luxury life with Randall and she had, you know, a baby with him. Now she's having a baby on her own and she's thinking finances. She's thinking about her kid. And I'm not saying this is wrong. I think both people are right. It's just different approaches. Katie, however, is in a place of the friendship. Like, she's just thinking about the friendship and not the show. So Lala's out here like thinking that Katie's a bad friend because she's not supporting the show and making the show more interesting and being willing to have these conversations on camera, because, you know, to her, she's like, well, I need the show to be successful because I need money for my kids. Where Katie is like, but this is my real life, you know, and I just want to talk to my friend, not my castmate. So I think that's where the divide is. And I think Katie learned like a lesson that, you know what, if I need to talk about someone on the show, like, I'm going to have to talk to someone who's not on the show. And I think it's just a miscommunication. And I don't feel like, to me, obviously, my reaction is I'm a friendship first kind of bitch. You know, I'm like, friendship above all else, loyalty, you know, like, to your friends and making them feel comfortable and all that kind of stuff. So, like, I am more on Katie's side, but I also very much understand Lala's side. I mean, not as much because, like, not from a perspective where, you know, I can say I relate, because obviously I don't have kids. But if I was trying to put food on the table for two people and support my lifestyle, like, I would be really anxious about that too. And I might lash out and do things like this. And I think they're both have their own version of right, but they're just like not really coming together right now. And it should be interesting to see what happens. I hope that these two kind of mend fences and things are good. I think that Ariana should like leave the show genuinely. And oh, speaking of them, by the way, the sandwich shop did open. And most importantly, Stassi was there. So like they're friends and everyone can relax. And like, that's all really all I need to know. I just want them to have success and be happy. And you know, I want the same for Lala. So it's just a bummer because, you know me, I hate friends fighting. And I think this is just two people very passionate about their sides of the story. And honestly, I think you can understand both of them and hopefully they'll be okay. So story number two, Sophie Turner is opening up in a new Vogue interview. So Turner recounted the days following the announcements of her divorce, calling them the worst few days of my life. She recalled feeling hurt by the media reports labeling her as a partier and feeling guilty despite knowing that they were not true. It hurt because I really do completely torture myself over every move I make as a mother. Mom guilt is so real. I just kept having to say to myself, none of this is true. You are a good mom and you've never been a partier. That's like so sad. I mean, obviously another thing I don't understand is like mom guilt, but like, I have enough friends who are moms and like hearing about this stuff and it's difficult. Like it's difficult to be a mom, especially a first time mom. And like, to have everybody label you as like basically not a good mom, and you're already like insecure about being a mom, like, ugh, horrible. Makes me so sad. She also said there was a lot of attention on the three brothers and the wives. So talking about her experience with like the Jonas sisters, you know, the Jonas wives. She said, well, we were always called the wives, and I hated that, not me just doing it. And she said that there was this plus one feeling that wasn't like Joe's fault. She said, it's nothing to do with him. In no way did he make me feel like I was a plus one. It's just that the perception of us was that we were groupies of the band. And I'm like, you know what? That's a really good point. Like, imagine that you have like kind of built your own career and you've worked hard from the ground up. And then now all of a sudden, like, you're just known as Joe Jonas's wife or like one of the wives. Like, that would be extremely frustrating. And Priyanka Chopra is very similar. You know, like, she has had a very successful career of her own and is extremely famous. And I think even Danielle Jonas, like, she works hard, you know, it's like not fair, you know, but yeah, I think it must have been really hard to kind of be put in this box, you know. But she did talk about, you know, her and Joe's relationship moving forward. She said that he was a really good father. She said, I'm confident that we can figure it out. Joe is a great father to our children, and that's all I can ask for. And she also talked about her relationship with Taylor Swift, because, of course, you know, that's what we need to know. And she said, I've never been more grateful to anyone than I am for her, because she took my children and I in, provided us with a home and a safe space. She really has a heart of gold. We live, laugh, love. It's just so sweet. I feel like she handled this with such grace and was so honest. And I feel like it was good. She didn't put down Joe in any way. And actually at every turn, she actually kind of defended him, which I thought was like really nice to hear, because, you know, there's all these things in the media, all these rumors, like I myself have been a perpetuator of this, of like this idea that Joe's kind of like leaking stories to the media, and like maybe this is all not true, or maybe it is, and this is her saying like, let's put the guns down, like, you know, like, let's just co-parent. And I feel like divorce is so difficult, but then you add in having like a child, like that's just so tough, and they're both like, you know, living in the limelight, like it's just a lot. So I feel that, you know, she handled this with a lot of grace, and I'm really proud of her. And I think we're gonna see like good vibes from them in the future. You know, there's hope for me, and I will, you know, be a little nicer to Joe Jonas now. Okay. My last story is so funny. I just wanted to talk about this because I thought it was hilarious, but Adele showed that she is absolutely one of us. And she also has, I'm working late cause I'm a singer, stuck in her head. So she was at her concert, and she said that, you know, sometimes when it's like late at night and she's working and she wants to get in bed, she just says to her, I'm working late because I'm a singer. And she was like, that is my jam. Sabrina Carpenter, like, that is my jam. And I just thought it was so funny. I'm like, Adele is one of us. Like, we all get the same song stuck in our head. I'm obsessed. But also what I really loved about it was that Sabrina Carpenter like retweeted it and said, all I'm reading is that Adele thinks about me in bed. And I just, Sabrina Carpenter is so wild, and I love her. Like, I feel like she's one of those people where we're like, we made the right person famous. Like, she's gonna be so fun, and I'm obsessed, and I'm happy for her and all of her success. And I'm really hoping secretly in my mind that like someday we get like an Olivia and Sabrina like collab, you know, kind of like Katy Perry and Taylor Swift, where they were like in that music video together. I want more. Okay, so I'm going to implement a little new segment, very, very short here, but I feel I work, you know, as you know, I'm not hiding my job anymore like I used to, but like I work at a movie theater, and I feel that people ask me all the time about like what movies are coming out. So I feel like the world just doesn't know what movies are coming out, and I have to know this information anyways. So I feel like maybe I'll just tell you. Here's my thing. I'm not going to be one of those people who like watches the movie and tell you how they are, but I'm going to tell you what's coming out. So these are the movies that are coming out that I know of. Okay. This weekend, we have Furiosa. Furiosa is one of those Mad Max movies. It looks like very, it's giving apocalypse. It's giving like scare, not like scare, like horror, but like, I hope we don't end up like that scare. Like, it looks like she's driving through the dirt, and Anya Taylor-Joy is in it. Chris Hemsworth is in it. And I think it's going to be good. It's like a Mad Max movie. So if you're into that, if you're into action, this is the movie for you. The Garfield movie comes out also on Friday. This is an animated movie. And I'm gathering that like Garfield reunites with his dad, who looks like kind of a fat slob, but you know, we're into it. And I think we're just gonna get all the fun Garfield nostalgia. The movies that were released last week, If was released, and I think that this is a movie you need to see no matter what, because the cast is so poppin'. So this movie was written by, I think it was written and directed by him. I just made that up, but at least it was directed by John Krasinski. And this cast is so good. Like, his wife, Emily Blunt's in it, which we love. Ryan Reynolds is in it. Steve Carell. So we have like a little Office reunion. I think Awkwafina's in it. There are some, and like, I honestly should have written this down, but there's just like so many stars. And the basis of the film is that it's like imaginaries. Do you guys remember Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends? I'm starting to think I made up the show because like nobody remembers it, but it's kind of the same concept where like imaginary friends are like, you know, they have to go somewhere when they're not being used anymore. And like, they're trying to find homes for them, basically. Like, that's what I gather. But if you got kids, but honestly, like, if you're an adult who just kind of needs something lighthearted, I feel like this is a vibe. And Fall Guy is still in theaters too, which is Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt's movie. And people say it's like really, really good. So it's like supposed to be a kind of a comedy action movie. So check it out. And that's all I know that's going on. Let's talk about a little sports news. Okay. The NFL schedules were released, and there is a Niner game the day after my birthday. Very important. They're playing the Cowboys. That's exciting. So I was like, okay, is this my birthday vibe? Like, do I go to the Niners game? But then I saw this. The weekend before, on October 20th, Kansas City Chiefs play 49ers at Levi Stadium, and I feel that I must be there. Like, I feel that I must be there. This is me telling the people that I must go. Mo, Danielle, I feel that we must be at this game. What are the chances that Taylor Swift comes to San Francisco? She's already been here. She's already played here. She like knows Levi as a, basically her second home. Like, she played a million shows here and she loved it. She became the literal mayor of Santa Clara. Like, she has to come back and reclaim that title. Am I right or am I wrong? Like, will Taylor be in Santa Clara? Like, I must know. But I feel that I must go to this game either way because, you know, these are my teams. I'm obviously still going to root for the Niners. Like, she's loyal, but I'm just saying, I think I have to go. And I was like, do I go to both? Like, is she just like a football girly weekend? I have been flirting with the idea of actually traveling to Canada for my birthday, but I don't want to miss my sister's due date. And I just like, I get nervous, you know, I don't know when babies just like pop out, you know, I'm just like scared. But anyways, yeah, I'm very excited about that. So one of those two games I will definitely be at. Also, the biggest news right now is that Scottie Scheffler, don't worry, I have the right golfer name. There's like so many golf news. Did you guys hear about this? You had to have. This is so wild. Like, the Sparks Note version is that Scottie Scheffler got arrested and then literally showed up for his tee time on the PGA Tour. Like, what? And he's like kind of the badass right now of the golf game. Like, before this, he's like kind of the number one golfer. He's like very good. He like wins all these things. But then like this happened. I'm like, I thought Scottie Scheffler was cute, and not to be toxic, but now he's hot, you know? So let me like break this down for you because I like did the work and I did the Googling, okay? Okay, so Scottie was driving near some golf course, Villa something, I don't know, I can't pronounce it, on Friday morning when he allegedly drove past a police roadblock and injured an officer with his vehicle, according to a police report. So then he was arrested. But his attorney said in a statement that they plan to plead not guilty for the charges. Scheffler was arrested about an hour after a deadly accident near the golf course around 5 a.m. on a man was fatally struck by a shuttle bus as he tried to cross the road near the PGA Championship. And apparently it was this guy, John Mills, who was like a volunteer. So this is like so tragic, by the way. Like, I know we're all laughing about this, but I felt like this part was important. So basically there was like a big accident, and so they had it blocked off, and the roadblocks caused some confusion. And apparently Scheffler drove past the police who were on site, according to reports from ESPN. So I guess he allegedly refused to comply with the police officer's request to stop and accelerated forward, dragging the detective to the ground, according to a police report. The officer was taken to the hospital after suffering from pain, swelling, and abrasions to his left wrist and knees. Scheffler's called this incident a big misunderstanding. He said, "This morning, I was proceeding as directed by police officers. It was a very chaotic situation, understandably so, considering the tragic accident that occurred earlier. There was a big misunderstanding of what I thought I was being asked to do. I never intended to disregard any instructions." So, okay, so then an ESPN reporter who witnessed the altercation, said a police officer attempted to attach him to Scheffler's car, and Scheffler then stopped his vehicle at the entrance. The police officer began to scream at Scheffler to get out of the car, and when Scheffler exited the vehicle, they shoved him up against the car and immediately placed him in handcuffs. So then Scheffler would leave jail and return to the golf course just before his tee time and go on to shoot a 5-under-66 on Friday, putting him just 3 shots off the lead. So I don't know. Remember last week we were talking about, like, does tragedy really make you a better golfer? Like, this is kind of a prime example, but this story is, like, real sad. I feel like we're missing the plot that somebody, like, died, you know? Like, hello? But I don't really know, like, what to believe here. Like, this seems like an exaggeration, and it's strange. And I feel like if he actually did this, he would plead guilty, you know? Like, what's the point of fighting it if it's, like, not true, you know? And it was really confusing. This is why I wanted to read the entire story to you all. And I obviously didn't read it before, but because I kept getting little, like, tidbits of, like, I read, like, there was a deadly crash and he got arrested and then he was golfing. So I'm like, did he, like, murder someone and then, like, show up to the golf course? Cause, like, not hot, you know? But, like, him really not, like, not doing something wrong and just, like, going to jail, and they, like, put him in the orange suit. Like, I feel like it was somebody who hates golfers and was, like, teaching him a lesson, and he was just like, Scottie Scheffler genuinely seems like, if this is Brooks Koepka or whatever, I would not be surprised. Like, he seems like a badass, you know? Scottie Scheffler gives, like, I'm a dad. Like, he is just a dad vibe. Like, immediately when I saw him on the documentary, I was like, this man is so sweet. He's a dad, you know? So this is, like, really shocking. And I feel like some shit is going on with golf, and maybe we need to be paying more attention to it, you know? Okay, so as I mentioned, I'm in my espresso depresso era, okay? And I did something so tragic, and I feel that I needed to share it on Ask Ashley or Ashley's Advice, you know, whatever I feel like calling it this week. So here's, I'm admitting this to you all because you're my best friends, okay? Leave me alone. So I've been, you know, struggling. I've been very sad, and I, you know, was like, okay, am I ever gonna get over this breakup? Like, I just feel so fucking sad. And in a moment of desperation, I took to Google and I Googled how to get over a breakup, or, like, will I ever get over this breakup? And then I found this fabulous article from Oprah Magazine, and she absolutely called me on my filth. Oprah called me on my filth in this article. But it was kind of helpful, and they gave, like, 14, like, little tips here. And I thought I would just read them to you because they were good. I'm not going to elaborate because, like, you know, it's going to be, well, I probably will, you know me, whatever. I'm just going to read them to you and say what I want to say. Like, what am I trying to limit myself, you know? Okay. Number one was ditch your breakup timeline, which I literally looked at this article because I was like, am I taking too long? Like, I literally felt embarrassed. I was like, I feel embarrassed that it's taking me so long to, like, get over this. And so then Oprah told me to ditch my breakup timeline. I feel better. And then number two was, don't be so hard on yourself. I was like, okay, bitch, like, are you in my mind? And then number three was, remember, there were no rules about how you should feel. Cause I was like, I feel like I should feel better. I'm so annoyed that this read me to filth. Number four, take time to grieve the loss. Fair. Five, find art that helps heal. Six, don't expect to feel better overnight. Would be nice. Number seven, try to stop romanticizing your relationship. I'm not really ready for that one, so I ignored it. Number eight, despite the pain, respect what you had. And I literally, like, this has been me the whole time. Like, I could not be more grateful for my relationship with the otter. So I was like, I'm there. I said, oh, you know what, Oprah? I already did that one. Check. Acknowledge that life can be better than before. If possible, stay away virtually and in real life. This one I thought was interesting. By the way, I don't think there's 14. I think I made up that number. Anyways, the next one was avoid any major life changes. And I felt this one hard because remember when I was like, I need change, I need change, I need change. And then I was like, I'm moving. And then I came down off the hype and I was like, no. And I'm so glad I did that because honestly, like I said, I'm on this journey to, like, get out of debt, and I absolutely could not do that if I moved. Like, it's so freaking expensive to live out here. My place is already expensive, but it's kind of the least of the places out here. So I'm really glad I didn't end up doing that. So that was really good advice. Okay, wait. What'd I do? Avoid any, okay. But don't hide was the next one. Don't hide. So it's like, still get out there, like, you know, and do your thing. And the last one is, and yes, you will get over them eventually. So I thought this was really helpful. I know it's not my personal advice, but like I got desperate and I Googled for Oprah, and it was helping, you know? You guys, let's talk about the I'm sorry what moment of the week. I am so annoyed, okay? And I know that we got through sports and you're like, wait, is she not going to talk about Harrison Butler or whatever the hell his last name is? No, of course I am. But it's coming in here and it's coming in hot, okay? So if you don't know, let me tell you a little something. The Kansas City Chiefs, first of all, Kansas City Chiefs, the team of Taylor Swift, their kicker did a commencement speech, okay? And I want to tell you that I had to read through, I skimmed it, the speech to find the part that's pissing everyone out because I wanted the exact words, okay? Because I wanted to give a fair and accurate I'm sorry what moment, okay? So he gives a speech and he said a lot of weird shit in the speech, okay? But we're going to focus on the women part, okay? Here's what he said. Just side note to paint the scene, like he's literally speaking at a college commencement ceremony where there's women graduating from college, okay? For the ladies present today, congratulations on an amazing accomplishment. You should be proud of all that you have achieved to this point in your young lives. I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think it's you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now about to cross the stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles that you're going to get in your careers? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and your children that you will bring into this world. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and a mother. I'm on stage today and am able to be the man that I am because I have a wife who leads into her vocation. I'm beyond blessed with many talents that God's given me, but it cannot be overstated that all my success is made possible because the girl I met back in band class in middle school, explains a lot, would convert to the faith, become my wife, and embrace one of the most important titles of all, homemaker. Listen. Listen. I'm sorry, what? There is nothing wrong with being a homemaker, okay? That is not the point of this I'm sorry, what rant. The point of this I'm sorry, what rant is to say that, like, women can be anything. Anything. And you just sat, if this was my graduation, first of all, I was drunk. So I want to preface by saying we had bottles of champagne in the aisle with us at my graduation. But if this was my college graduation, I would have tackled this man to the ground, to the ground. If I was sitting there after 4 years of grinding and student loan bills that I know I'm going to be still paying off at the age of 31, which I'm not even close. And this man got up there and told me that, like, this is nice and all and, like, good for you. And it's cool that you think that you might have success, but in reality, you're just waiting to be a wife with wife and kids. Like, F you. Like, and also what's so annoying about this is one of the most annoying narratives that I find in existence for women is that, like, we're pinned against each other in the way of, like, oh, well, if you want just to have, like, kids and you want to just be a wife, then, oh, you're not a feminist, you know? And it's like, no, fuck you. Like, we can literally do anything. Like, if that's the path that you want, if you just want to, like, have a job you don't hate and a family you love, like, do that, you know? Like, that's okay. If you want to be, like, a big career woman, do that. If you want, like, a little bit of both, if you want to be a career woman and you want to be, you know, a mom, like, do that. We're unstoppable creatures, and how dare you? I have to say this. I think the worst part about this whole Harrison Bunker thing is that nobody roots for the kicker like I do. Like, I'm a ride or die for the kickers. And then he goes on and gives a rant about women. Like, sir, a woman is ride or dying for you right now. And she has absolutely no intention of being a homemaker. So, like, leave me alone. And also, what drives me even more crazy is that, like, I'm someone who's always dreamed of doing commencement speech. Like, this is such an honor. So apparently, since literally anybody can give a commencement speech, I decided to write my own last night. And I thought that we would all graduate from the University of I'm sorry, what? And I would give you a little speech. I literally brought my graduation cap out for the occasion. Like, Can I put it on? Can I wear it? Will it work? Oh, let me see. Okay. I think if I hold it, it will stay. And I'm going to give a commencement speech. Like, she's doing it, okay? You're graduating from the University of Ashley Sleek, a University of I'm Sorry What, and I'm going to give you a commencement speech I literally wrote last night. And so I will say this about it. It's not the best. It's not the worst. And I want you to know that I committed and I went and got bobby pins, and now my graduation cap is securely on my head, and we're graduating from I'm Sorry What University, and I am your commencement speaker. You're welcome. Okay, let's get into it. On paper, my accomplishments fare pretty well. Well, at least to me. I graduated from Sonoma State University, which is a very small Northern California flex. Right after graduating, I got a part-time job in radio and worked my way up to my dream job as a morning radio host at the age of 22. I graced the airwaves of Sonoma County for 5 years, then moved to Oregon to continue the dream, then changed my career path to marketing and have worked for Ghirardelli Chocolate Company, Invisalign, and now I'm the marketing director at a movie theater. Although there's a lot people don't see. I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease at the age of 16, a medical-induced lupus and fibromyalgia at 23, and anxiety and depression shortly after. I fight silent battles every day, but I also have silent victories. I have things that I'm so proud of that wouldn't be on my physical resume. One of my favorite things being that at the end of this year, I will have married 3 couples, I have been a bridesmaid 13 times, and 5 of those a maid of honor. I was captain of my lacrosse team and named first team All-League. I really enjoy singing, even though I am not good. And when I was young, I thought I was going to be a pop star. I also host a self-proclaimed successful podcast called I'm Sorry What that I'm so proud about. To some people, I'm the first person that they call when they have exciting news or if they need to talk something out. To some people, I'm a person that can make them laugh, a best friend, a good coworker, a loving cousin and sister, a devoted daughter, and my recent favorite, a hot aunt. When I meet people and I start sharing stories, the reactions are always amazed. If I meet someone through work, they can't believe that I have a podcast or how many weddings that I've been in. When I make a new friend, they are shocked to hear all that I've been through or that I'm even sick at all. I tell you this to explain my 2 biggest life lessons. 1, spend time getting to know people. In my career, I was laid off 2 times in 1 year. It was an extremely challenging time for me. After I lost my first job, I sat back and did some reflecting and said, you know what? I did work that I'm proud of and I built meaningful connections. When I was laid off 2 times, I said the same thing. I was proud of the work that I had done, but I was more proud that I knew my coworkers. I knew who their kids were. I knew about their pets. I knew about their commutes, their struggles, and their dreams. I lived for the moment where we crossed from small talk to deep talk, cherishing each moment with these special people. Clichés exist for a reason. My favorite being, you never know what someone's going through, so treat everyone with kindness. To expand on that, you never know what you are going to learn from someone, so don't take people for granted. The second thing I learned is only you can choose what defines you. It's easy to get wrapped up in what everybody thinks about you and what box you can be put in. When I made the decision to leave radio, I felt like I didn't know who I was anymore. Who was I without being Ashley Sleek on air? I always felt like I had this fun identity and suddenly it was gone. I had to figure out who I was and what I wanted, something that I'm still figuring out to this day. It was easy for people to put me in a box. Being a millennial, I was stereotyped as being lazy. Being in radio, people thought my job was easy. So now I was a lazy girl with an easy job, and now I was trying to get a job in marketing? With what credentials? The credentials were that I was smart, creative, determined, ready to learn, demanded respect, and I thought that I was a pretty fun coworker. All things that I defined myself as. In this world, you're gonna have to sell yourself. You are your biggest ally and you will get yourself far. There is nothing in this world more powerful than love, and you will never be more powerful than when you learn to love yourself. I want to take a moment to address the women in this graduating class. There will be people in this world who will treat you differently because you're a woman. There will be moments of pure frustration where you wonder, how can this guy have an opinion of me? He literally doesn't even know me. As Dr. Taylor Allison Swift said, if I was a man, I'd be the man. So be the man. Be unstoppable. Be unapologetically yourself. Be brave, be bold, be whoever you want to be. Do not limit yourself, or do limit yourself. If you want to be a housemaker, be a housemaker. If you want to be a housemaker and a CEO, do that. If you want to have a job that you don't hate and a family that you love, do that. If you don't want a family and you want to just be a hot auntie who gives good gifts like me, you can do that too. Whatever you want to do, do it for yourself. And whoever you want to be you, because you are more than enough. To the graduating class of 2024, let me be the first to say I am so proud of you, and you're doing great, sweetie. I'll leave you with this quote from a cinematic classic, the Hannah Montana movie. Life's a climb, but the view is great. Congratulations, class of 2024. You did it! Elwood style. Honestly, like, as I was reading it, I was like, this needs, like, so much. Like, we need to do a lot of work on it. But this was my first go, and I did it last night because I felt like when I was thinking about this guy, you know, doing the speech, I was like, wow. First of all, I threw the Dr. Taylor Allison Swift in there because, one, I will quote Taylor Swift at any moment, but two, because he literally referred to her as my teammate's girlfriend. It's like she's selling out tours and arena. And I was just like, wow, if this guy who's literally the kicker, you know, which to me is a lot of respect, but to the greater population is not, if he is going to be like disrespectful, you know, like anybody can get up there and give a speech. And like a little fun fact about me, I know I've told the story before on the podcast, but like I applied to give my commencement speech and I did not get it. And I was so sad. And honestly, like, I feel like I didn't follow the prompt very well because my dad said I should talk about, you know, like being sick and stuff. And I didn't have that in there already. And then I threw it in, and I threw it in this one too, just to talk about, like, you know, prove the point and drive the point home that you really never know what someone's going through. And so anyways, this was my very first draft of commencement speech. So listen, if anybody out there is graduating and they want me, like, just let me know. I'm happy to come give a speech. But in general, I probably would have worked a little bit longer on it, but I was like, my window's closing. This Harrison story is not going to be interesting, and people are graduating right now. So I got to do my commencement speech, and I'm glad I committed to wearing my cap. You know, it really like brought the whole vibe together. Oh my God, my graduation cap, the fact that I still have it is crazy. It was so cute. Shout out to my girl Cass. We played lacrosse together, and she's so crafty and I'm not. And I was like, can you please help me? Can you like help me make my cap? And it's so cute. It's silver and sparkly. And I'm taking, okay, well, I took it off my head and just fell down because I wanted to like talk about what's on it. But at the top is like the KSUN radio logo, which was my college radio station. At the bottom, it had a little Yoda and it says graduate, I did. And then it said Noma Lax on the side. And then in the middle was a bow that I had her make me, which was I wore a bow every game for lacrosse and I started to like double up and they were so cute. So she made me a purple bow with frogs on it. So the purple bow was to represent, that's the color of the Crohn's disease ribbon. And then the frogs, just because I'm a froggy girl. And honestly, it was so cute. I had such a good time. But like, what I'm trying to get at is that graduating from college is a huge accomplishment. And for anybody to get up on a stage and diminish what a woman has worked on and tell her what she's going to be doing next is so extremely disrespectful. And I just like, I'm sorry, what? Like, who said that you could do that, you know? And I would be so embarrassed to show my face back to Travis Kelce, who's literally dating Taylor Swift and could not be more of a man obsessed with a girl that we've ever seen. And now he has to play. Like, good luck getting blocked. And also, I would just love to see, like, this bitch is going to get his ass tackled all season. And I feel as though people are going to let that happen. Like, Harrison, the world's coming for you. Be careful. Be careful. They should just let a woman on the field and like let them tackle him herself. But I'm sorry, what? Like, if you're going to be given the honor, like something that people like me have always wanted to do, and you're given this honor to give a commencement speech and you like use it to shit on women, it's so fucking bizarre to me. And from what I understand, like a lot of the other things he said were kind of crazy too. But like, honestly, I couldn't dive in. My stomach couldn't handle it. But yeah, that was my, I hope you enjoyed like graduating from I'm Sorry What University. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I had such a great time hanging with you. I hope you have the literal best day in the whole world. I hope it like inspired you today. It made you feel like you can take on anything and do anything because you can. You can. I love you all so much. Again, thank you for listening to the podcast. If you could please rate and subscribe, that would be amazing. I'm trying to get my numbers back up. It's my own fault. It's my own fault my numbers are down. I literally disappeared for a month. And I just have to say that, like, I appreciate you all so much who, like, waited this out with me. Like, there are those of you who are loyal and just listen every week. And I just love you so much. Like, this is a dream. And I appreciate that I get to just, like, come on here and be myself and just have a good time. And, you know, on moments where I'm feeling, you know, really sad, it's nice to have this podcast to turn to. And I, you know, shout out to all my friends and everyone who's just been so patient with me. I know I'm like the absolute worst. I don't even know how I've managed to keep all these friends when I cannot respond to text messages. And I just appreciate everybody and going on this life journey with me. And I love you so much. I hope you have the most amazing day, and I'll talk to you next week. Okay, bye.